Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Australia's most family-friendly podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Why Am I Sad? I'm Joel.
I'm Zoe B.
I'm George.
I'm Cass.
And we are fine.
Hello sunshine, hello blue skies, hello lovely day. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da.
So don't fine that we're not even going to ask questions about ourselves because you have some questions that we are going to answer. And you can get your question answered if you email us in at happylittlepod@gmail.com. Now, the very first question that we have today is from a lovely man named Brett. So Brett is saying, hi, guys. When I was 15, I lost about 100 pounds. I don't know what that is in kilos, but I'm assuming 50. It's a lot.
It's 50. No, it's like 45.
45.
That's incredible. Well done.
Yeah.
Lost about 100 pounds. Pretty sure that period of my life gave me some issues with my weight, but I'll get to that. When I was 18, I got dumped, so I did what any common person would do and messaged someone I look up to. Me, Joel Zammit. don't do that. I'm 21 now, and I'm actually pretty okay. I'm working on a novel, and in my third year in college, I've started my own podcasting company called...
No, don't say it. We don't want
to... no rivals.
Yeah, no rivals on the pod.
Meister Khan is. That's not a word I'm used to in English. Meister Khan, and I have a pretty great. And I have
a
pretty great.
This guy's showing off now. We don't need this here.
Yeah. That being said, this year I learned that I have celiac disease, and it's taken a toll on me. I'm nearly the same weight I was when I was before I lost the weight at 15. My depression has come back, and honestly, I'm having a hard time finding the motivation to do anything. My body hurts most days, and not sure if it's all from celiac depression or weight gain. I'm not stuck, but I feel close to it. I can't afford therapy, and I don't have many friends. I just don't know what to do. So how can we help young Brett? Or any advice for Brett here?
Well, I can definitely take the chronic illness plate here. Yes. I'll just fill myself up. That sucks. Sometimes you just need someone else to say it.
Yeah.
You just need someone else to be like, yeah, man, that fucking sucks and there's nothing you can do about it because your body hates you. I get it. I have like four chronic illnesses, three of which the side effect for all the medication that I'm on is weight gain. Mm. So
lucky girl.
Lucky girl. So yeah, so the meds I take for my Crohn's cause weight gain, the meds I take for my depression cause weight gain, the meds I take for my PCOS causes weight gain.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's pretty special.
Yeah.
I think it's a process of just coming to terms with it to be like, this is the thing that's keeping me alive. And keeping me not being sick.
I have a dumb question.
Yeah.
And this is maybe an answer you don't know. And this is very tangential.
Yeah.
So weight gain, genuinely in my brain, when you're talking about weight gain from like a fitness perspective or just in terms of like a general perspective, it's like calories in versus calories out. And it's all about weight deficits. Don't bite your tongue, George. And it's all to do with like a caloric deficit. And that is what causes you to lose weight. And a lot of people, when they're being like, oh, all these like fad diets or like these diets, the reason why they're successful is because it is to do with you are minimizing the calories. It's kind of like putting a stop to the food that you're eating. So if you're fasting, the reason why that's working is not because of the fast, but because you're putting in a caloric deficit because of your like, oh, I'm not eating at certain times I would.
Yeah.
So those aren't going into my body. Same with like, not Atkins, but paleo and all those kind of things. Where not it's like, well, I'm not thing, eating yeah. carbohydrates. And it's like, well, yeah, because so it. So I don't pills. What? How does the side effect? How does it?
I'm no scientist.
George is neither a scientist.
I'm neither a scientist.
George has an opinion. So.
if man with an opinion is speaking.
Well, this is the whole point of why all of that's technically probably not as true as people like to think of calories in, calories out. And as your point is, why would a pill make you go heavy if it's not having more calories? Because that's not how it works. It's not about that. It's about based on several scientists who have quite a bit of legitimacy. As one of them says, the guy who was treating diabetes, and he said, I can make anyone fat. Full stop. Doesn't matter what you do. I'll just inject you with this and you will be fat or thin. You have no say in it. It doesn't matter what you eat because it's about insulin resistance. So the higher your insulin resistance, the more your body is going to either store the fat or let go of the fat. And that's why if your body messes with your body's internal rhythms and stuff, your body's going to actually, your cells are going to take in or not take in as much energy from the food. So that's essentially in a very short way why that happens, because it's not about calories in, calories out. It's about how your body responds to what the food is that's coming in. And that's why certain people are more prone to be overweight than other people because their body does that, even though they're having the exact same amount of calories.
Yeah, my brother and I obviously have the exact same DNA and obviously like grew up in the exact same kind of household.
Not how DNA works, but okay.
Well, no, like
not even close.
We're twins.
Both came out of the same lady.
We both came out of the same lady. We both got the same pup. So
we assume.
We assume. Well, we both look exactly like him, so it would be hard not to.
Weird thing though, because my mum is adopted, but yeah. She was everywhere. When she was growing up, everyone was like, oh, you look like your grandma. And like, you look very much like, blah, you know, because, you know, she was like red hair and all that kind of stuff. And that ran in that family. But like, she was very adopted.
Oh, well, we have like, yeah. We have
super like, adopted.
Super adopted. Not crazy. That's like, it is. The
no, yeah. Well, me and my brother.
I'm not saying your mum stepped out. I'm not saying.
She might. No, no. We just have, me, my brother and my dad have the same anomalies, I guess would be a good way to say it. Like, we've got the same, like, kind of birthmarky weird stuff. Anyway, my brother is a stick of a man and has been since childhood, where I was always a little bit overweight. And we ate the exact same thing. We, like, grew up in the exact same house, had the exact same mentality towards everything. I just unfortunately got the fat gene from my family.
Yeah.
But I think George is right. I think it the medication alters the way your body processes food. And there also is a level of with one of my meds is a weight retainer, which is very weird, which I'd never heard of before, but a doctor said, so like must be true.
Yeah.
But I know that like with my antidepressants, one of the side effects is weight gain because when you're depressed, you tend not to eat. And so like when you start getting into a healthier cycle of life and living, you tend to eat more. I know the side effect with Crohn's like, Crohn's inherently, I didn't get this fucking thing, which I'm super bummed about, but Crohn's inherently makes you lose a shit ton of weight.
Is it ulcerative colitis?
I have ulcerative colitis, which is the sister.
Which is Crohn's?
Which is the sister illness to Crohn's.
Sister.
Yeah. So they're both the same kind of illness, but they affect different parts of the gut.
Gotcha.
And yeah, one of the side effects for like colitis and Crohn's is like just massive weight loss. And I didn't get that rude.
Come on, gut, work for me.
But when you start on the medication, your body starts processing food better because you have a gut problem. So like for me with my Crohn's, I just shat myself constantly and it was like taking a laxative every day.
That'll do something.
And that'll do something to you. And when your body stops doing that.
That'll do something to you.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that. It's the same thing like the pill. I think
and metabolism as well. So I should mention it's not just.
The pill inherently is one of those things. The side effect is weight gain because it's screwing with your hormone levels.
It's like nudging your brain being like, we're pregnant.
You got to hoard
don't
it.
Don't activate that fucking, we're pregnant. Yeah. If anyone asks, we're eating for two.
Yeah.
Your brain's like, okay, look, I'm not going to make an egg. I will make an order for a sandwich. I think that's what I will do.
So there is side effects are a big thing. Weight gain is a big common side effect for a lot of medication. And with celiac disease,
because celiac is the gluten-free gluten.
Yeah.
But it's
like an actual thing, not just like I don't eat gluten.
It's more than an intolerance. Like if you eat wheat and you have celiac disease, every time you eat wheat, it raises your chances of getting cancer. Like it's really serious.
Oh, damn.
So, which was really annoying for when people started stopping when people stopped eating gluten more as a trendy thing, mm-hmm. and then I knew people who worked in cafes like, oh, gluten-free, it's so annoying. It's like, I do not serve someone gluten if they say they can't have it because you don't know which one they are. And it's genuinely so dangerous. Like, yeah, it makes them really sick.
I've heard that, yeah.
And another thing with food, I'm really, really lucky. I don't have any, like, food-based anything chronic, mm-hmm. but I've grown up with so many people who have had celiacs or Crohn's or all these other things, and so many side effects are things like brain fog, and it affects your body physically and it affects your brain and you can't think properly, and it really makes it difficult. So if you like, I don't want to be annoying, but if you can stick to your diet, it might make you feel better. But I'm sorry for saying that. That's so annoying.
What do you mean? Is it not, like, don't eat gluten?
Yeah, well, if like making sure you are careful, because I've known people who, like, they'll eat something and it has had wheat in it and they've not known, and then their brain's fucked for days.
Yeah.
And they can't think properly or they can't focus. Mm. It just, your body just can't handle it at all.
It's kind of like on the opposite of the end of the spectrum than lactose intolerance, because there's a lot of people I know, and I also can't eat lactose because of my Crohn's, and fuck, no one takes that seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I think
the amount of people we know with lactose intolerant, and I'm like, hey, we're having a cheese night. And I'm like, oh shit, you're lactose. They're like, I'm coming and I'm bringing my own cheese knife.
Yeah, because it's not like Cass is describing. I think, like, at least my experience of a lactose intolerance is like, I just shit bad the next day.
Yeah, it's like a manageable symptom. Yeah. So you can be okay,
I always plan it like
coming.
A hangover. Like, I'm like, oh fuck, it's a cheese night. Well, I'm going to be shitting bad tomorrow. And that's all right. I'll just plan for it. Where if it was brain foggy and really bad, I probably wouldn't even try.
Oh, you just wouldn't even bother. And like the people I've known and just seen, they're just like, I think something had gluten in it the other day. I can't do anything. And it's just heartbreaking, because in most cases when you are sort of that, when your reactions are that strong, you don't do it intentionally. Yeah. So it's just like, fuck, someone poisoned you by accident. I'm so sorry. What can I do for you? Like, nothing. I'm just going to not be able to think and be in excruciating pain for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. So I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It is, coming to terms with a chronic illness is difficult. And unfortunately, the answer is time.
Mm.
Is just kind of learning how to live with it. And if it's a relatively recent diagnosis as well, learning what does and doesn't do good for your body is just a process. Like, I remember going to a dietitian and being like, oh, friend of the pod, best friend Christina, is a dietitian. And I hassled her and was like, what are foods I can and can't eat? And she was like, oh, unfortunately, there's no blanket rule. Like, you just kind of have to figure it out. And so it takes a hot minute to get used to it and just kind of accept that this is your life now. And then you're inherently always just allowed to be down about it. You just can't let it, you can't let being down about it overpower the rest of your life. You know, I obviously would love not to have a bunch of chronic illnesses. That would always be the option that I would take.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah. Let's not go too crazy here. Right?
I mean, a controversial thing. Controversies aside there. Yeah.
I guess it's nice to have alternative perspectives in here, I guess. That's
like I would obviously, like, I don't, like, I think anyone who has a chronic illness would be like, I'd prefer not to have it.
Yeah.
Like,
of course. It would be sweet.
But I don't get a say in it. So just takes a minute for you to kind of adjust. And you are allowed to feel down about it. And there are still days where I feel down about it. I got diagnosed with my PCOS when I was 19 years old. That's 10 years ago. And there are still days where I feel down about it, because it does affect my life, especially days where I am in a lot of pain, and on days where I can't get out of bed. I'm like, this sucks, that this is just part of it sometimes. But the longer you live with it, unfortunately, the answer is time, of just kind of accepting. There are things you can do. You can be proactive, but the acceptance towards the diagnosis will only come with time.
And I was just going to say, and you probably get good at picking up everything real quick. So it's like, oh, I did have, like you said, if I have gluten, I can tell straight away this had like a hint of it. So it's like you get more aware. Which, as soon as you know, then you know that this is why I feel bad. That makes feeling bad a lot easier to deal with.
And I think if weight gain is a side effect of whether it's the illness itself or the medication that they've put you on to deal with the illness, there. This is going to be a blunt statement, but it's like
another controversial
statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you just feel sick. Like you can be fat or you can feel sick. Those are your options. And I just would personally rather feel be fat and feel okay than be thin and feel sick.
That's Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, going to what else that sort of Brett has been saying yeah. here, and kind of like, okay, so I would say as a very, very simple advice would be to slow down. You are 21 years old. You're saying you're working on a novel. You're in your third year of college. You've started a company in podcasting, which, let me tell you, not a great idea.
Notoriously lucrative industry.
Yeah.
The gold rush, baby.
So you're starting a podcast company in what I would consider like...
The worst time to start a podcast company?
Maybe. I think the best time to start a podcast company was like 2004. I don't know. It just seems podcasting is an odd thing, especially if you're like wanting to make a lot of money.
But if you love making podcasts.
But if you love making yeah. podcasts, it's the best profession to do. But so again, you've got these things. So you've, okay. So third year of college, I assume, is a very busy time. So that's already a very busy time. Then you've decided to work on a novel, which is great. But again, that
the idea of a 21-year-old working on novels
is just beautiful.
It's great.
I was just working on drinking.
That's literally all I did at 21.
Yeah. So you've got like that, which is like your creative endeavor, which is fantastic to have a creative endeavor. It's good to have a creative outlet, and you've chosen that, and that's fantastic. And then you've decided to create a company, which is again very stressful. As a man who runs a company, it is very stressful. And I don't know if I would have been running a company while I was still doing like full-time study would have probably driven me a little bit bonkers. So you have these things, you know, and not even just a company, but a podcasting company, which has its own different pratfalls and foibles, partly because also it is a very new media. It's a very new sort of job. And so there aren't a lot of people you can talk to into seeing like, all right, I fucked up. How do I do not fucking up? So there's not many people in the industry that you have contact to, which kind of does suck. Then you also have a recent diagnosis of celiac disease, which is its own issue as well.
And you should also treat it as something that you are doing.
Yeah.
And taking up time in your life because yeah. it is. And trying to, because when we do this thing, we're like, oh, and this on top of this, it's like, okay, but just because it's not something that you are planning to make money from doesn't mean it's something you're not doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're still, it's still taking up physical energy. It's still taking up your mental energy. And then mm-hmm. I know with diet changes, that's going to take up a lot of money as well, because trying to find all the alternatives when you first start out is horrendous. Trying to spend all the time changing your shopping lists, trying to spend – this is going to take a lot of extra time for you, and you please acknowledge that and be kind to yourself.
Gluten-free bread's so sad. Like, I'm sorry. It's the worst one.
It's gotten good.
No. No, it hasn't.
Last time I tried gluten-free anything was like maybe about 10 years ago, maybe 15.
I tried it in Melbourne
as well. Surely it's amazing.
15, 20 years ago, I started trying all this stuff. It's gotten much better.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because I had a friend who had celiacs, and it was this kind of thing where it was like, okay, they're like, hey, here's some gluten-free pizza. And I was like, sure. I took one bite and was like, bleh, bleh, bleh. It tasted like sulfur. Why? Why did it taste like sulfur?
There's a lot of grain alternatives now.
Yeah, it would be different because you can be wheat intolerant or gluten intolerant, so some of the grain alternatives still have gluten in them, which is fucky. Sorry, you were saying. I just wanted to point that out, that still counts as a thing that you are doing, and you need to treat it as something that you are actively participating
in. You would mentally be like, nah, this is just another thing, like, as in it's separate, but it's like, that's actually a lot of time for it.
You're allowed to dedicate time.
I would definitely not think about that.
No, you don't.
That's legit, yeah.
And so you've got, like, this recent diagnosis, and you're also saying you got, like, you know, depression, which may or may not be related to the weight gain that you might have issues with when you were 15 and lost 100 pounds. Like, as someone who has gone and done, like, a yo-yo in terms of diet over my life, yeah, look, those weight issues never go. And it's that kind of thing where it's only taken maybe this year where I am very comfortable in my weight. And am I happy? Not really, but I'm comfortable. And it's kind of like working out what it is that I want.
The argument of what point, like the point of your body being at the point where you're like, I'm super happy with this, would that be a sustainable thing though? Because I know that I can, and I have gotten down to like a size 8. Oh, I stopped eating. Like, I just wasn't eating. And I was like, God, I'm thin. But I was also very sad and hungry. Like,
yeah, I'd say the key is always like, as says everyone says these days, but can you go for, like, if you want to be realistic, how fit are you? Like, as in terms of, even if your weight shouldn't be the defining feature, should be your level of
activity. So that's
can you go for a walk?
So that's what I'm now
maybe a bit more ambitious at 21. Slightly more, unless you've got a legitimate reason not to. I'd say probably more than a flight of stairs before you give up.
Two flights of stairs.
Yeah, just the three.
Still might be, depending how long the flights are.
But yeah, so for me, as opposed to being like, you know, wanting to be like, I want to be shredded or bumpy or big or what, all that kind of stuff, where it's actually, no, what I really want is to kind of have fitness. What I really want is to be at like mobility. And so I've kind of put my like my shift and focus into that. And so that's where I'm sort of like putting towards. And so it's like, even though, so I've been, again, I think I've mentioned like last time I've been running, starting up that sort of the couch to 5K.
How is that going?
It's good. I did 30 minutes of running yesterday. Which I'm very, very, like, very proud of.
How
like,
far was that?
We are so proud of you. Oh, my fucking God.
and now because I my beautiful wife gave me her hand-me-down Apple Watch, I can tell you. She got a new one. She's like, here's my old one that I have not, you know, I've been using for, like 4 years or whatever. I'm like, okay, I'll wear it. I never thought I'd be an Apple Watch guy, but boy, is it
cool. How did you never think you'd be an Apple Watch guy? You have Apple Watch guy.
Yeah, you have voice-commanded lighting in your house.
I know. I don't know. I never really liked wearing a lot of jewelry, a lot of things on my, like, my person. But now I've got...
Well, yes, it's the guy in a now, wedding ring. Who's wedding that ring? For?
And a watch. Both very much linked to my wife. Anyway, so yesterday I did.
She's shackling you, man.
So chained by chains.
So it was a warm up and a cool down, and I ended up doing 5.8K.
Damn,
That's impressive.
In half an hour.
In 42 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's
all right. Never mind.
Well, that's the warm up and cool down, and that's me taking a bit slow because I did a bit of shin splints.
That's good.
So I was like, all right, I'll go a bit slower so that I'm not in pain and be clever, and I'll actually have a rest the day after.
That's a good idea.
So, yeah. No. I did that. So my goal now is to kind of raise that in terms of like the speed, sort of either every week or every other week, just to kind of ease in. Because this is that thing where it's just like for dumb guys. Brain, you're like, yesterday I did the 7, and now I'm gonna do 10. And then you're like, that really hurt. Why? And you're like, because you just don't realize how weak little piss boy you are. Slow down. And so as someone who's trying to slow down themselves, my advice to you 100% would be to slow down. Take stock of what you currently have. Take stock of what it is that you want to put your stock into. Because right now, like, I think doing the college, your education is very, very important. Put stock into that. Your celiacs, that's not going to leave you. That's a chronic illness that you need to adjust to. So put stock in that and come to terms with that and work out how is that manageable. And those are really, I would think, the sort of two most important things there. Then looking at your relationship with your partner, and then look, novel and podcast company, that could be later. Look, the novel is, it'll eventually write itself, maybe, or it won't, but like you can definitely put that in the back burner. And again, if you're starting a podcast company, again, you're 21, like you have that wonderful thing called time. And so you can fail here, and it's not going to be that much of a big impact.
Oh man, failing the best.
Ah. Failing is the best.
And also
or quitting.
Or quitting.
Or quitting. Or even better than failing.
Or pausing, telling yourself you're going to get back to it, but it's a quit. That's a good one too.
Yeah, subtle quit.
That's my favorite.
So yeah, so I'll be looking at, like, again, if you think of how many hours in a day do I have, kind of maybe just focus on the things that are the really important things, and then you'll find other things start slotting into place. Because if you're stressing about every single one of them, you're kind of giving only like 20% of your brain capacity to every single one of them, and then it ends up not being great. Yeah. So as a professional plate spinner, it's bad, and don't do that. So just kind of, slow down, breathe, focus on the things that you can focus on or should be focusing on. And find, I know we always keep saying, go to therapy. You're saying you can't afford therapy. Find, I guess. Make it a goal. Yeah. So you can afford therapy. I don't really know about like how the healthcare system in America is. I'm sure it sucks.
But check as well, if you're in college, see if your college has like free counseling or something. Even something small like that, then you can talk to someone who has a modicum of qualification. would be more beneficial. And then someone who you can actually chat to for an extended period of time, have them give you feedback on how you're doing. Mm. And Samit's right. Like, I say this all the time, like, life is too short to be doing something that you don't like, but it is long enough that you can literally try everything you want to do. Especially with things like learning to sort of work out how you best function with celiac disease and keeping yourself in a state that you're really happy with, it will take time, but eventually it's not going to, because it will become habit and it will become as easy as, you know, eating was before and cooking for yourself and everything. It will eventually, it's just going to slot into place. And yeah, there's a learning curve and that's annoying, but allow yourself to have that time because it's important. You are important. Taking care of yourself is so important to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to like wind yourself up and go with like a fucking broken key. So
Yeah. And you're not going to get it perfect as well. Like, I think that's important to stress that with any kind of chronic illness, especially dietary stuff. I got diagnosed almost two years ago now, and I only recently, like a week or two ago, found out another food I couldn't eat and was like, that's fun. So like that.
Aww.
Yeah, it literally, like, I didn't even think about it. And I try and stay away from meats because that seems to set me off the most. And I was like, but I can eat birds. I can eat chicken. So I was like, that must apply to all birds.
I like the idea of just eating birds.
No, that was the thing. I was like, I can eat chicken. So obviously I can eat bird. That was kind of the mentality there. So I ate duck. I can't eat duck.
Oh.
Wow.
It's too fatty for my
duck body. Duck is kind of like a fishy bird.
It's very fatty. And I got very sick the next day. So like, you know, it'll happen.
I just remember that ducks can fly and it always freaks me out. Like, they shouldn't, right?
I think they shouldn't look so much like little footballs I want to kick.
That's also true.
But I don't kick them, but every time I see them, it's all I can think of.
Yeah. But like, every time one flies, I always just forget.
You see them in the air and you're like, what the
fuck? How do they get up?
Well, because chickens can't.
That's true.
But they can fly pretty high, chickens.
Yeah.
They can actually roost in trees and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's a surprising one too. Chickens fly higher than you think.
Bastards.
Then I feel like this. And also, yeah, you saying you can't afford therapy, so maybe make that a goal. And again, look at the college and see if there's anything there that offer counseling. And you're saying you don't have many friends, but well, if the friends that you do have, are they the kind of people that you can open up to and talk to?
And maybe your friends should be. You should be able to talk to your friends.
Yeah, maybe they can help you and offer some advice. And also, if you're in your college, again, I don't know how the college system works in the States, which I assume you are from using pounds, or it could be
UK. Literally any,
anywhere,
like a lot
that's
of
not Australia.
Yeah.
You know,
UK should be good still.
If they have clubs and those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, joining clubs.
Meet new people and find new interests and all those kind of things.
Aspiring writers clubs.
And sometimes.
There'd be so many aspiring writers clubs.
Ah, if it's the UK, yeah.
Mm.
I was going to say that sometimes. As well, with the friends that you do have, if you feel like they're not good at listening or giving advice, you can instruct them as to what you need as a friend.
It's great. Zoe's done that to me before. Oh, my God. The pressure it takes off of trying to, like, make sure you're getting something right.
So can you give an example?
So I always – sometimes I like to say when I'm having a moment and I want to talk to someone about it, I will – preemptively let them know whether I'm looking for advice or just someone to listen. I think that's very important to be like, because sometimes when all you do is want to be heard, when people are like, well, what if you do this and what if you do this? You're like, I actually just want to complain. Mm-hmm. And then right now I'm not thinking of solutions because right now I'm just dealing with processing.
I just wish I had so many more people do that to me.
Yeah. It's
so what I tell.
I have to because then you start. Yeah.
I'm always auto being like, well, here's how we fix
it. I think it's especially like
a step-by-step guide, all right?
It is a weird gendered thing that men tend to do it more.
Because we're like, why are we talking about it otherwise for the feelings?
Much. This is wasting time. I know. We could be fixing it.
This is logistically unsound. Inefficient.
I actually do it the most with my dad, where I'm like, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. Mm-hmm. Like, and then there'll be times where I'll just walk, like poor Cass has copped it so many times, where I'll just send her a text being like, hey, we haven't spoken in 3 days. Do you hate me? I need you to say no.
Like, I'm like, oh, no.
Guess what?
It's like the dot, dot, dot of typing, then stopping, then typing, then stopping.
I can't remember. Did we talk about this in the episode?
There
was one day where I think Zoe had messaged, and I just sometimes I will see a message and either respond to my mind or put
in the to-do pile.
Sometimes it goes into the to-do pile, and the to-do pile's a scary pile, even though mm-hmm. they're my friends and I want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get a text message in my brain's like, oh, that's another thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't get done straight away because it goes onto a pile instead of being something I finished at that moment. And then I was just sitting one day and then was like, oh, yeah, fuck, I need to respond to Zoe. And then I was like, oh, my God, I need to respond to Zoe. She's going to think I hate her. I was like, hello.
I get it, Cass. As someone who currently has 91 unread text messages, I feel you. I feel you. How many?
I just can't.
How many text messages?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, if we go text messages, yeah, yeah, I think yeah. I have, okay, I think I have four, five. Hang on.
I have zero unread text messages.
Please tell me that someone in here has no unread anything.
Hang on.
No, emails. Emails, I have over 10,000 unread emails.
Oh, my God.
Oh, emails, I've got 18,000.
Emails don't count. I unlinked it from my phone, so now I don't see it.
You got notifications on for anything?
I have 1,163 unread emails.
You're in charge of a business.
Yeah.
That seems...
Mine's just like my Netflix being like, pay us. So like,
okay, in terms of messages I need to respond to.
I definitely have something wrong with me.
No.
I can't have
you seem functional.
A highlight of my day is clearing my emails and being like, this goes in this folder.
Oh, my God, minimum I wish.
Minimum 15.
But messages.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do.
Yes, and some of them are just like, here's the authenticator like number that you need to plug in.
So clear it.
Oh, no, I'm just meeting people I need to. I didn't count those.
I'm counting everything.
Because it's making me crazy here.
Yeah, I have zero unread text messages.
Well, I'm just going to clear those ones that are like, hey, here's your bill, and hey, did you want a free pizza?
Yeah, one's like, I had a missed call, another missed call.
I guess you got the notifications off though, right? Mm-hmm. You got the notification, the little red dots, not on your phone.
No, it's there.
Yeah, we all have
not anxiety inducing.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes people look at my phone and get sad.
It's got 18,000 messages in the notification.
Yeah, so one of the apps isn't even, okay, well, that's better. Yeah. There we go. Now they're showing up.
18,000
red dots everywhere.
Why do you have that red dot there?
Okay, now the fun game I love to play is how many tabs do you currently have open in Safari?
Okay, which one, private or standard? I will go. Hang on,
just go standard.
I'll go my standard browser. Okay,
Zero. I wiped them all. I didn't need them. I had three.
You have private?
I got scared of the internet when I was younger and switched everything from standard to private. And now everything's anyway. 466. Mm-hmm.
466.
George.
I am not great at that, but that means that I've got like 15.
I got 42. And that's all of after going through a bunch being like, I don't need this website, the same website four times. Anyway.
But like everything there is like, because tabs are, I'll give tabs some code, like, I'll check that later. That's something I want to look into.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same.
It's open,
but there's a line.
No.
Well, I need to look. If I look at my open page now,
you've gone completely off topic, and I'm fucking furious.
No, just one.
What is
just
wrong with everyone in this company?
That's good. Okay.
Just ADHD. One, and it's the fucking homepage.
Yeah. No, thank you. Okay. So
that's
great. You do this thing,
that's
right?
Good. That's beautiful.
On your own laptop. Say you're using your laptop and you're opening a bunch of different tabs, and maybe you have different, like, say, windows with like a bunch of different tabs.
Yes, in each. Yes.
Of course.
Because they're for different things.
And then if there's like, say, like an error and your computer shuts down, and so you lose all those pages that are open, right, because it boots up, are you relieved?
Yeah.
Right?
But like, at the moment, well, I've tried to make all of my tabs in the one browser window because it was getting annoying having to switch between them.
Okay.
I have three tabs open.
I have currently.
But I've got a limit, which is like when they get too small, you can't read the tab anymore in the top. Yeah. Then it's got to.
I currently have four different browsers.
He's sussing around.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, different four, five,
browsers.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Look, I know, I get it. I've lost count.
Yeah.
People are different. Humanity is a rainbow.
On my computer, I've got about 30, but on my phone it was 466.
Yeah.
But look,
466.
I think you hit 500 and then they stop letting you open tabs.
They shouldn't. What if there's important things we
they
need
were
to
important.
Look? I need to know where
a bar is in Bendigo. Hang
can't
on.
We just do, what if we just do
that's
the mass
closed.
Deletion
465.
Of
no, I've just yeah, I
can
just got I, one.
Can we do like a through and see if we just pick a random one?
Sure, but look, if I've got it open now, I do need a PDF on what to feed possums. And
that's important.
And I do need to know what Electrolux says about... No, apparently they... specifically ringtails. I think I figured out you could be able to... they eat eucalyptus leaves mainly, but you can feed them like one almond every 3 days. Mm. There's a possum that lives outside my window and I want to like give him a check. Except I thought he was just curious and clumsy because he keeps falling off the roof and waking me up and it sounds like someone's walking outside my window. No, mm-hmm. he was trying to jump into my room. Aww. I watched him smack into the glass last night. He's a little idiot and I love it, but he needs almonds.
He does need almonds.
Because then you've the window's going to come inside.
Feel free to. Yeah, that's an issue.
I need these book depository tabs that have been open for maybe 6 years. I need most of these are a lot of food recipes.
Okay, Zoe's going through and she's going to pick a random one.
Go.
What's that?
This is an article. Nice.
It's a Forbes article. Those strange lights in the night sky. What are Elon Musk Starlink satellites explain?
Yeah, and I've told you all about Starlink. That's all come up in conversation over the past week. It's relevant.
But haven't they painted those so it doesn't reflect in the sky too much?
They've tried.
Okay.
Okay, let's have a look. What's next?
Eatthismuch.com.
Oh, that's a really cool website. So eatthismuch.com, you can put in if you want to go on a like a calorie mm-hmm. deficit thing, if that's what the route you want to take.
Ah, Cass, sorry, Cass, shut up.
What?
There's one Horse tail, no hair.
We were looking for a horse that had like no hair on his tail.
I was talking to someone. Horse tail, no hair. I was trying to figure out what they look like because I saw a horse with its tail cut a little bit, and it's like, wait, what does that look like underneath? And it's actually really hard to find. So I had to do a really thorough image search. And
Do they have a little knob?
It's a little dog.
Yeah, a little bit. It's good. I would recommend every website that has been suggested is perfect, mm-hmm. and I shouldn't get rid of any of them.
I agree. Every website has a story.
This one, relevant now, it's called foodisgood.com, and if you have dietary preferences, it's literally like you just click on like what your diet is. I think then you have...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
What is
this? That's great, Cass.
Strong stand. Strong stand.
It's a Chrome extension. So if you are on like a website and you put in what you're allergic to, the Chrome extension will tell you if you can eat the food you're looking at, like if you're like on Amazon or a grocery.
Celiac.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the ingredient scanner, but I'm pretty sure the other one, it does other things. So you click on what you can't eat and then it can generate recipes and stuff for you. So you just click on what you want and what you can't eat. You can now put the plug in and it
how
helps.
Many times have you used that personally in your own life when you're cooking?
It's not for me. I don't have any dietary needs, but I think it's a really cool thing that I learned about. Another tab is
look,
Horus.
I'm giving you shit, but I do the same thing. It's beautiful. Yes, Cass.
I just found another tab Quora article. What is the worst thing a monkey has ever done to you or someone you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Again, a great question.
Yeah, a great
question to answer.
Yeah, every tab I have, oh, look at it. It's all perfect. Okay, close that one.
All you need is like a, when you're feeling proactive, you just get in there and you'll have a great time. Like I look at that, I'm like, that would be delightful. I'd be able to sort them. I'd keep the ones, get rid of it.
Oh, you know, my partner, she's very much like you, George. And that's like, you know, she has like a notification on her phone. She just stresses out until it goes away.
Yeah.
And even those weird ones where you're like, how do I get rid of it? She'll know. She will know.
We just turn off all notifications in the notification center.
But then what if I need to know?
You don't. Put a blanket thing right there.
Yeah, look, that's a fair point. I don't.
I don't even have it on any of my messaging stuff apart from messages. Nothing else. I even get it. WhatsApp or whatever. I don't.
So, yeah. So I hope that's helped.
Did that help at all?
I guess the takeaway from if you want some very simple advice is slow down, just breathe, have a breather for yourself and just kind of like take stock in what you're doing and put your energy towards the things that sort of need to be done as opposed to the kind of stuff that you either want to do, but really put some time and kind of like sort out that before you can sort out anything else. And I think having just like a quick overview of what you're saying you're doing at 21, yeah, just
you have fine. So much time. You have so much time.
You're fine.
You're fine. And just, yeah, have a breather, slow down, relax. And then, yeah, go from there.
You have enough time to take care of yourself properly and give yourself the care that you deserve and need right now. Like, you have enough time to
100%
treat yourself as you would treat a friend. So many people don't do that. You got to treat yourself like you would treat your friends.
Yeah, no.
Because you should be your friend.
Oh, that was one of the best advice I ever got from my therapist or my mom. Someone gave me that advice once that was like, because I like to just say horrible things to myself in my brain. Like to, you know.
Yeah.
For fun
and not because of a mental illness. Anyway, my mom was just like, hey, you have to imagine that you're saying it to best friend Christina. And she's like, would you say that to best friend Christina? I'm like, no, I wouldn't call best friend Christina a lazy piece of shit. She's not a lazy piece of shit. I'm a lazy piece of shit.
It forces you to put nice it in lesson. Different perspective as well. Because like if it's like, lazy piece of shit. Like, would you say that to your friends? Like, well, no, they've been
not
working
to their
really.
Face.
It's like they've been. it's like, oh no,
which friend.
Yeah, and is why, it Joel? Because I would.
Oh,
but it's you end up having perspective that you wouldn't give yourself and cutting slack where you wouldn't otherwise. It's like, oh, would you say that to your friends? Like, oh no, they've had like a really fucking rough month. Like, I wouldn't say that. I think the fact that they're, you know, managing to do all their basic care shit is actually a really impressive feat considering what they've been going through. It's like, yeah, so shut up. Be nice to yourself.
Yeah.
Cut yourself some slack. It sounds like you're going through heaps, and the fact that you are, number one, able to be like, hey, I'm not in a good way. I want to reach out. I want to get better. That means that from now on, your life will get better because you have decided you don't want it to be like this anymore, which is great. Your life's about to get better. So just make sure you're kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Nice.
From now.
Yeah. And also, anytime you do something that can feel like a step backwards because, you know, with dietary stuff and just everything you've got going on, it just sounds really stressful. Make sure if you think about it, you're thinking about it as a new way to take care of yourself and to do something nice for yourself, because that's what it is. If you keep, you know, eating things that are going to make you sick, that's going to be bad for you. So it's not that if you do that, it's going to be bad. It's if you eat something that's not going to make you sick, that's you doing a nice task for yourself. That you're still putting effort into doing nice things for yourself just by taking care of yourself. That counts, and you are allowed to feel good and celebrate that. And you should feel good and celebrate that.
Yeah. Okay, so next question is from Chaz. I sorted a lot out recently and have been a lot clearer mentally, but I'm having trouble adjusting to the new and intense feeling. It's especially prevalent in my personal relationships. My family say I get frustrated easier now, and I'm also more flaky with dates, which is hard now anyway. If you have any day-to-day advice for this, I would really appreciate it. I feel like a cunt recently.
Okay. Ah, so one of those old didn't have feelings and was dead inside for a while, and now you got them back in there too much.
So, yeah, so I'm guessing because, like, I'm not really – I don't think I've ever really experienced what they're sort of saying where it's being like – I've always had, I guess, feelings. Oh, no, I guess I have felt. No, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no, damn it, I've seen you interact with people.
Yeah, that's fair. Wait, what?
Huh?
No, I feel like this is the classic, like, you know, when addicts, the hardest thing about any addict to get, like, a lot of it's proven that, yes, you got your physical symptoms, but it's also just the social thing. So like when you try to clean yourself up for whatever reason, actually you've got a lot of your environment who pushes against you because maybe you're standing up for yourself more or you're doing whatever. So like that can actually get pushback from your environment a bit. So maybe being a cunt is actually a good thing. Potentially.
Yeah. That's a
good way to read it.
Yeah. That's actually like, don't be cruel, but yeah, sometimes that's because you might be presenting a more wholesome self. Some people have gotten used to a relationship which didn't include that, so they might be thinking that you're
Definitely. I think
being worse than you were.
When you're dead inside, and that's how I'm going to refer to it as the rest of this episode.
Okay.
When you're dead inside, you kind of don't, like George said, stand up for yourself, and you probably let a lot of stuff slide, and now you've got feelings again. And so it makes sense that you're more irritable and stuff because you've got feelings again.
Mm.
And maybe those things have always been irritating, but you just never really did anything about it because it was so deep down under the dead inside.
Yeah. Mm. And also from another perspective, if you start to recognize what you're worthy of and things that you are, like what's going to be really beneficial for you from a relationship and what's not going to be beneficial and what kind of things you're sort of not going to put up with anymore – and everyone in your life is used to walking all over you, that's going to create some conflict because you've never created conflict before. But it depends. I don't know if that's what you're specifically saying.
Well, yeah, it's a,
also,
way.
I guess if you're going to read it the other way is that they are saying that they're getting more irritable and that they're probably snapping a little bit, I can infer from this. When you get your feelings back, you don't want to be a cunt. Like, and I
guess the other side of thing, yeah.
That's like, you don't want to, I know that one of the cool things, and by cool I mean bad, but cool for me, things about smoking cigarettes is that they weirdly numb you. Like you know how people who smoke are always like, I just need to have a cigarette to calm down.
Yeah.
They have, they do have that, nicotine does have that effect on your body where it just calms you down and kind of just makes everything like a little bit number. And when I quit smoking, I was super, super irritable at everything, which is, you know, part of it. But at the same time, I was like, oh, I'm just feeling my feelings again. But then I was just being mean to people because I was short and I was snapping. And I was like, I also need to choose not to do that.
That's the other side of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you had a coping mechanism. And I guess, like, it wasn't a coping mechanism at this point. You were just had a way of coping. Mm-hmm. That is now gone. You need to learn a new way to cope. You're allowed to have your feelings. You just need to express them fairly and kindly. You know, you can't snap at everyone. Because people who snap at everyone are just dicks. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I had an old roommate that just would snap at me if I brought anything up. And then, like,
what a healthy response.
Yeah. And so then I just stopped bringing stuff up with him. And then he was like, oh, you never bring this up. I was like, I don't want to get yelled at. So we just don't have a relationship. Like, and we spoke through it and we worked it all out and it was all good because we used our big boy words. And that's what you got to do. Like, if you're snapping at everyone and you're being a little bit irritable, you need to, like, reflect on yourself to say, like, yeah, I'm feeling these feelings, but are these feelings valid and do I need to express these feelings? Because some feelings aren't valid. Like, I know that's a crazy statement, but sometimes
– Shut up.
Not to you, like to.
I know. No, I was just going to say
– shut up, George, yeah. No, it's good.
I think it this might be good. Like, who is did they say if it's a guy or a girl there? So was it? Just because, like, I think one of the issues can be for guys more so, and this is totally a guy's perspective. So it could be I can't compare actually, so I shouldn't say for guys. But I do. I think there is a percentage of guys who can struggle, especially with anger, because they know what society's like with them, so they can.
And anger is the only emotion they're allowed to freely express. So
they're not allowed to freely express it. Yeah, so you're talking about like maybe 40% of guys who are insane maniacs. I'm not dealing with them. I'm talking about this quiet, I would say majority probably. I would actually say it's probably more than half who just don't get angry ever because they're trained by society to not get angry. Like, I know most of the guys I know would struggle with expressing anger because that's another emotion which kind of told you're not allowed to have because everyone reacts to it badly.
As a very angry teenager and more of like an angry sort of early 20-year-old throughout my 20s, it was very much repress.
Yeah, and that's
and I became, I think, a nicer person. And it wasn't until like doing therapy, and then they were just like, basically unleash in a controlled, safe environment and get that anger out. That it was like, oh yeah, nice there.
Yeah,
I just push down. It's why he's there.
Yeah, it's a big problem I think for a lot of guys who like have that situation because you get angry and people get concerned and stuff, and it's not nice for other people around you, but there's a weird middle ground to control that.
Yeah, I'll be really honest. Anytime a man yells, I get scared.
Exactly.
Like, and it is just inherently.
It is scary.
It is scary when I'm like a chick yelling. I'm like, right.
Yeah.
But like I'm like, oh no, he might hit me. That's like always the first thought process, regardless of who the person is.
That's traumatizing for a lot of men because like, you don't get to express your emotion at all. So you just like, this is the part, this is the ugly side of saying men need to learn to express their emotions. A large chunk aren't allowed to express their anger.
Yeah.
And like, that's a huge issue for a lot of men. So, and there is a balancing act there because it's hard to do. And anger is a part of like,
Definitely.
Life that we don't get to do a lot of the
time. You're allowed to feel angry, I think, in any, like in most situations, you just have to like do the work to figure out if that is the emotion that's warranted.
Ah, so we're warranting emotions now.
No, I think, I have a hypersensitive personality type, which means that I, whatever I'm feeling, I go to 100 pretty much almost immediately. And then it mellows out. But for like the first 5 minutes of feeling anything, I feel it really intensely. So when I'm angry, I'm really, really angry.
Mm.
And when I, it's because it's not a diagnosis, it's just a personality type. It's just like how people do sometimes. My therapist was like, yeah, just take a minute to calm down because most of the time you don't feel like this in 5 minutes. And if I do feel like that in 5 minutes, I've at least calmed down enough to be like, hey, I can have an open, constructive conversation instead of just yelling and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so you can warrant what you're feeling, but at the same time, like you don't want to make anyone else feel bad. So you're allowed to feel what you're feeling. You just have to like take stock in that moment to say like, is this reaction what I'm really feeling? Is that just a gut reaction? Is this also the smartest socially like thing to put out right now?
Mm.
So you're allowed to feel what you're feeling. How many times have you been angry and then like 10 minutes later been like, oh wait, no, I'm not angry. Like it's passed.
I get the same thing, not so much with anger, but with other emotions. And I have no, maybe it's because you've taught me this, but you just, sometimes something will happen and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to give this 5 minutes to see where it goes. And I often, not that you can, I'm not saying, you know, you can think your way out of a feeling, but I like to apply. So if I have a gut reaction to something, it's like, okay, can we have a look at why I felt that? These reasons. Okay, cool. Is it reasonable to bring this up or is this, because sometimes you have a think about something. I know I do a lot. It's like, okay, my gut reaction is this feeling. That feeling's valid. I'm going to accept that I'm feeling that. I'm not going to be like, push it down or whatever.
Yeah.
But does it match up with, you know, what I want in life, the world I'm living in and what I can do with it moving forward and be like, no, I just feel this way and I'm fine with everything that's happening. Everything's fine. I've just had a weird gut reaction. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you deal with it.
Yeah.
And it that does take some practice, but I've had that recently. It was like, oh, that felt bad. Why does that feel bad? Okay. What's happening in this situation? Okay. Everything's fine. What do I want to change about the situation? Oh no, it's okay. That just felt like shit for a bit and that's allowed.
Yeah.
I don't need to bring it up. It's fine. I'm fine. Oh, okay. And then it helps you and you can sort of work through it and not, again, you're not pushing your emotions down or doing anything weird. You're just looking at them, seeing what they are and being like, cool, what's the next step?
Yeah. Yeah. You're acknowledging them. You're feeling them.
Yeah.
You just don't always have to express them outward, which I guess is the exact opposite of what George said.
What do you mean?
Men being able to feel like they can.
No, because
there's
a constructive way to do it. Yeah, no, there is a constructive way. What I'm saying is in the, that takes practice.
Yeah, that takes practice.
But for a lot of guys from a young age, they're just like, you can't get angry. Right. You just can't because like people get nervous and uncomfortable. So you just train yourself early on to not acknowledge it. Yeah. So you don't know you're repressing stuff. It's like, it's lovely. Then like, that's amazing. But most guys, I would feel, again, and this one I will say is definitely more guys, you don't know what you're feeling because you train very early on. That when you're a kid and that's when you just get to express stuff. For guys, I think a lot of them are like, oh, I can't get angry ever. So you just don't. And then you just stop feeling it. So then you don't even know, as Zamet said, you don't even know you're angry. So you're walking around furious all day and you have no idea because, and again, there's no health. Like it's just an unfortunate side effect of how society works. Guys, everyone gets scared. If you're a nice guy, you learn very early on, don't get angry because everyone gets very uncomfortable. And then because of that, you don't learn to train it to then have the healthy expression, which a lot of people do get.
Yeah.
So I think that's an issue, which is, I feel, a guy thing in some ways.
Have we mentioned therapy for this person? Because if you're not.
Yeah, that might be a good answer.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah, well, I made an assumption because they said that they sorted themselves out recently.
You can do therapy
but
for one thing and then be like, and it's fixed, and then a new problem will come up and you'll be like, no, but I did the therapy.
I clocked it already.
You're allowed to keep going to therapy.
Oh, I know. I just had the assumption that when they said they sorted a lot out recently and have been a lot clearer mentally. That was my assumption that they went to therapy, but maybe not.
But that sounds it sorted past tense. So if you're not still going, keep going. I
got my certificate.
I got the opposite thing after I went to therapy, where I was turns out really stressed all the time, And I got the opposite thing to what you may be going through, where all of a sudden I had started getting better, but I wasn't quite there yet. So I was noticing that I was like everything was a lot easier and more calm. But because I wasn't all the way, we're all working on ourselves every day, but because mm-hmm. I wasn't where I am now, I was didn't realize I was still sort of stressed and I was still holding all this stuff. So what it felt like was I was like, hang on. Do I have depression now? Because it feels like I'm not feeling all the things I used to feel and it's weird. And because I still had stuff to go through and work on and sort of get used to it. And it was just an adjustment because eventually it was like, oh, no, no, no. This is just my new normal and it is a really big change for my body. And the way that you hold things like stress or the way that you hold yourself when you have feelings makes a difference. So your whole body's doing something new. So make sure you, you know, caring for yourself in that respect. But if it's that and you're like, oh, hang on, what's all this? Is this worse? Am I going the opposite direction? For me, it was just an adjustment. And I've spoken to people who have had the opposite. They're like, oh my God, am I manic? No. No, your body's just getting used to your new normal and you're on
just
your
not
way.
Depressed anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah, the physical, like again, yeah, your body reflecting just the state like, and then being
I'd react to things and I'd be like, oh, it's all fine. And then my brain would be like, you used to be stressed about this. Are you secretly depressed? Like, is this depression? You're not reacting at all to any of this. You have no feelings. And I'm like, oh my God. I think it was like my brain's secret way of being like, oh, that's good. We're stressed.
I think I
oh, that's normal. Good. But no. It goes away. If you keep working at it, it's good.
I think it's also worth noting, if you want to be proactive about this, I would look into nonviolent communication. Or NVC as it is known. There's some great worksheets online and it is a technique of speaking to other people to express how you are feeling without other people feeling attacked. So it's really, really helpful if you're trying to express anger and it's literally like a Mad Lib, like you just fill in the little blanks in the form to be like, I am feeling this because of this, because of this. And then it simplifies and helps you express what you're feeling towards another person without them feeling attacked, which tends to be the cause of every argument.
Yeah.
Just trying to bring up how I'm feeling and the other person feels attacked, so they get defensive, so they start attacking you, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
In nonviolent communication as well, there's a way for you to express to the other person that you are also hearing them and you are taking in what they are saying and you are, or not positively, but like receptively hearing what they're saying and you have plans of action to help. So that then makes that person feel heard and that validates what they are saying. So those are some good communication.
Nice. I've opened a new tab and I'm having a look at this.
Yeah, it's really helpful to be I am feeling like this because of this reason. Therefore, like this situation is making me feel X. This is what will make me feel better.
Mm.
And it's a great way to communicate with one another if you are struggling to communicate how you're feeling. And it seems like that might be where this person's at the moment. So, like, it's literally a Mad Lib that you fill in.
Mm. Nice. Oh, and that website is all that. Just look for
it. It's just nonviolent communication.
Nonviolent communication.
It looks like there are lots of Google images with, like,
that's like, that one. That one's the one I have on my fridge. That's the one I have on my fridge.
This is nonviolentcommunication.com.
Yeah.
How convenient.
And it has a section on observations, feelings, needs, and requests. And as someone who has spoken to people who have been learning this as well, it is so good to have someone talk to you in this way. If someone is able to be like, this is how I'm feeling and this is what I want to feel better, because especially if it's like someone you care about, you want to do right by them. You want to make sure you are making them, you're not doing anything, because I don't think anyone really means to do any of this stuff on purpose. So if someone tells you, hey, this is making me feel bad, you want to be like, oh my God, I'll change that, obviously. But if someone comes to you and they're like, you've done this, it makes you feel like the person is saying, you are doing this to me on purpose.
Yeah.
And you're like, I would never do that.
So that inherently makes you defensive.
Exactly. And then nothing gets done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to print this out and put it on my fridge.
Yeah, put it on your fridge. It's a good way to learn. There's little notes on ours because we've all written on it to be like, this is a little thing that we wanted to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But I come from a very healthy family. So you guys.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Zoe B.
I've been George.
I've been Cass.
And we're still fine. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us for some very unprofessional advice that goes beyond just go to therapy, feel free to email us on happylittlepod@gmail.com and make sure you put somewhere in the email, okay to air, if you're happy to have us discuss it on the show.
Hope you have a great day. You're not alone. We love you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president. You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.